Moncrief on News Talk.
While a lot of people swear blind by the weight-losing properties of the likes of Ozempic, what exactly are they losing? According to some research, a lot of what disappears is bone density and muscle, which ain't good. But will that put anyone off? Henry McKean reports.
According to a new study, a third of weight shed after jabs is lost from muscles and bones. The advice is to do strength training, or you could be at risk of fractures. I met these people and asked them what they thought of the fat jab, or GLP-1, or widely known as Ozempic.
Yeah, my dad's taking Ozempic. He's a bit overweight. He helps to regulate his blood sugar and for diabetes. So I think it's useful in that regard. But now it's become more of a trend. A lot of my friends in Australia are using it recreationally to slim down.
So they're using it as a kind of weight loss drug for cosmetic reasons,
yeah,
as opposed to health
reasons. Purely cosmetic, to lose, you know, an extra couple of kilos.
Do you have any concerns about that? That could be perhaps harmful long term for them? It could affect their muscles and their bones as they go into old age?
For me, I train regularly, so I think the old school method is, I've been tempted to try it for a quick fix, but then the problems associated with it, I wouldn't want to take the risk. It's such a new thing, you don't know.
So you're still trying to do old-fashioned exercise?
Yeah, I go to the gym 3 times a week, try and keep up my steps daily, you know, monitor what I eat. Geez, I just had some breakfast here, which already put me over my calories for
so
today.
So it was very fatty.
Yeah, yeah. So this medicine does maybe have an inverse effect. It's the simple solution, but we don't know the long-term problems associated with it.
If someone who has to take them because, you know, they suffer really bad with, you know, I think people with diabetes and stuff like that take them and it's for a reason, that is fair. But for taking it for the sake of losing a bit of weight, no. There's gyms out there, there's diets out there that you can do, and yeah, they're not for me.
In your friendship group, is there a temptation to take them?
Yes, there is a big temptation, yeah. There's a couple of people that are very interested who have been to the doctors, asked about pricing and stuff, but no.
And
they haven't taken the step yet, but I feel like it is coming. I think they were quoted maybe €100 a week at this point, so yeah.
I wouldn't agree with them at all. You eat healthy and walk and exercise.
And your generation?
Yeah.
There's one fat person per village.
That's right, yeah. Even out of the clothes now, they used to be size 10 years ago, and now they're normal size 16.
It's only been out a short amount of time and we haven't seen what long-lasting impacts it could have. I mean, it could come out that it's linked to something really serious, so probably best in moderation.
Not healthy and don't agree with it. Not a good idea. Not a good idea.
The reality is these drugs are literally changing people's lives.
Here is Nikki Dwyer, CEO of Future Beauty and Health. She takes the GLP-1, better known as Ozempic, or the fat jab.
They're preventing people dying from strokes, from cardiovascular diseases, any number of cancers by reduction in overall body weight. Muscle mass is obviously, it's a concern. You must look after yourself when you're losing weight, but that is regardless of how you're losing weight. So if you are losing weight via calorie deficit, you will lose muscle mass. If you are losing weight via calorie deficit and exercise, you probably won't lose as much muscle mass, but you're overall relative muscle mass to your body frame will change. And if you are losing weight on a GLP-1 or on bariatric surgery, your muscle mass will change in accordance with your overall lean body mass. So I think that's the kind of fallacy. Then the other fallacy is that, losing muscle mass, that it's all like active muscle. But the thing is that a lot of the muscle mass in DEXA scans, like the DEXA scans can't differentiate between organs and muscle. So, and in most people, there's a 20% reduction in the overall size of the liver. And the liver is considered to be a muscle under a DEXA scan. Now, if you think about that, your liver doesn't decrease in size, but the fat inside your liver is decreasing. So, I mean, these are things that we don't really fully understand yet. But what we do understand is that GLP-1s and other weight loss medications that are coming down the line are evolving rapidly, and they're very much in the longevity space, in the cardiovascular space. There's cardiologists that are prescribing GLP-1s to perfectly healthy people, but it's actually for their other inflammatory markers in their body, to keep them, you know, at reduced risk of cardiovascular disease. So I think this whole scaremongering of this whole drug class has to stop. And I think that people need to be open and leaning into it with curiosity and respect for medicine and for science and the amazing things and the lives that we could potentially save from using these GLP-1s in an environment that's designed to make us fat, by the way. We live in an environment that is designed to make us fat. Like, our epigenetics are actually changing. So our environment is changing our genetic composition. We live in an environment where we have metabolic disease and metabolic conditions are rife. And you have people who aren't eating huge volumes of food and are exercising to extremes and are still struggling with their weight. I am one of those people. I have been on a GLP-1 for coming up on 3.5 years now. I work out regularly. I have a long athletic history. You know, even Serena Williams, you know, one of the best tennis players in the world is on a GLP-1 because she's always struggled with her weight. She's literally the fittest person in the world. So we need to change this narrative that it's about moving more and eating less. There's metabolic diseases that are literally killing people, and we need to change how we feel about these things and embrace them and embrace the science and embrace the longevity that they can provide for people.
I love talking about muscle mass and bone strength.
Wellness expert Carl Henry has done a deep dive on weight loss drugs.
If you need it, if you fit the criteria, which is BMI over 30 and one serious health condition, it is a really brilliant tool for those who suffer from the disease of obesity. That's what it's designed for. It is fantastic for that, for those who it works for. It doesn't work for everyone. The issue is that we have people who are taking it, who don't fit that criteria, who are taking it for a stone of weight loss or maybe 2 stone of weight loss, who don't fit the criteria for it. That's a problem because for most people, it's lifelong. So you're on it for life. It is expensive. That's another component to it. And there are side effects to it as well, which is an issue. The muscle loss and the bone, the reduction in bone strength is a problem. We've seen that. We've had clients on it over the years. We track them with our, we have a very fancy Tanisha scales here, or we can look at muscle mass and a whole lot of other things. So if you are taking it, for anyone who's listening, you need to hit the gym. You need to be doing strengthening exercises for your muscles and for your bones, because losing weight is fantastic and it can help you if you suffer from the disease of obesity. But there's no point in being weak, in having weaker bones, weaker muscles, because yes, you may be lighter, but you're at a higher risk of trips and falls, and your aging profile or your health span is reduced, and that's not good. So if you are taking a GLP-1, you need to be doing exercise, strengthening exercise, lifting weights, whether it's your body weight or whether it's weights in a gym. That's how you keep your muscles strong. From a bones perspective, it's exactly the same. Bones react to weight-bearing exercise, so that's what you have to do. You have to lift weights to keep both of them strong in conjunction with eating properly. So GLP-1s really should be taken with a professional in mind, whether it's your GP, a dietitian, a PT, who can help you and ensure that you're doing everything you need to do. So are you eating enough protein in your diet? Are you getting a varied diet? Are you doing cardiovascular exercise, and are you doing resistance exercise? Because they go hand in hand with the GLP-1 medication. Unfortunately, people think they can take it and that's it. You can't, because you will get weaker. You will have weaker bones and weaker muscles, and that is our big problem that we're all afraid of, to be very honest with you. We have people coming into us who have taken GLP-1s and they feel weaker. So they come in and then we can fix that. We can improve their strength in the muscles and the bones at any age, and whether it's male or female, you can make a big difference just by doing weights. So I suppose to summarize, look, I think that GLP-1s are brilliant. I think they have a role to play nationally and internationally. We're seeing that because of the usage. By losing weight for those who suffer from the disease of obesity, you improve your health span, you improve your life, you improve so many things. You reduce your risk of lots of things as well. For those who don't hit that criteria, do not take them, because it's another quick fix solution for those. And that is a problem, because you're going to take it. If it works for you, you will lose some weight. And then when you come off it, most people will regain that weight unless they stay on the drug. And we've interviewed people on the podcast. We've seen that time and time again, that for most people, that is the case.
We're seeing lots of headlines about obesity medications and muscle loss, but the science is actually more nuanced.
Dr. Mick Crotty, clinical lead for obesity with the Irish College of GPs, had this to say.
Anything that causes weight loss, whether it is lifestyle intervention, bariatric surgery or medications, can lead to a reduction in lean mass. That's a normal biological response, and it doesn't seem to be disproportionately greater with obesity medications compared to other approaches. And in fact, we're seeing an overall improvement in body composition, and the available data suggests preservation of strength, mobility and physical function. The lean mass reported in these studies isn't just skeletal muscle, it also includes water, glycogen, organs and bone tissue. Bone density will reduce when we lose weight, again, because of less loading on the skeleton. And the long-term studies we have using these medications in diabetes suggest there isn't a significant increase in fracture risk. So I think in the right person, these medications can produce metabolic, physical and quality of life benefits. But that doesn't mean we should ignore muscle. We need to be prioritizing protein, resistance training, physical activity and personalized support for people. Because ultimately, obesity treatments isn't just about making people smaller or lighter, it's about improving their health, making them stronger and live a better and longer life.
Henry McKean reporting there that, yeah, interesting stuff there. I wonder how many people in Ireland, because there seems to be a fairly strict criteria as to who should be taking those GLP-1s and who shouldn't. I wonder how many people in Ireland are taking them who don't fit that criteria, who are just taking them because they need to lose a bit of weight. And disappointingly for them, it's not that easy. You need to go to the gym.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.